I want you to open your Bibles with me this evening in the book of 2 Samuel and the chapter 14. 2 Samuel chapter 14. I want to read just a few verses from verse 28 to verse 33. 2 Samuel chapter 14. And we commence to read at the verse 28. So Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. Therefore Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king, but that he would not come to him. And when he sent again the second time, he would not come. Therefore he said unto his servant, see, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath barley there. Go and set it on fire. And Absalom's servant set the field on fire. Then Joab arose and came to Absalom unto his house, and said unto him, wherefore have thy servant set my field on fire? And Absalom answered Joab, behold, I sent unto thee, saying, come hither, that I may send thee to the king to say, wherefore am I come from Geshur? And it had been good for me to have been there still. Now therefore let me see the king's face, and if there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me. So Joab came to the king and told him. And when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king. And the king kissed Absalom. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. For Jesus' sake, amen. On this family service this evening, I want us to think about a family. I want us to think about a father called David. Now, David was a shepherd boy, and David became a king, the king of Israel. And just like every other man, David failed. David made mistakes. And one of the areas in which David made mistake and failed grievously and sinned grievously was in respect to family life. The Bible tells us that he took another man's wife, Uriah's wife. And because of falling in love with this man's wife, this man Uriah, who was a faithful servant of David, he was a faithful soldier, he was a loyal friend of the king. And yet because of the sin that was in David's heart, David sent Uriah to the front of the battle, and there Uriah died. The Bible tells us, be sure your sin will find you out. And David's sin found him out, and David received chastisement for his adulterous sin. And sadly, through that sin, great sorrow followed and great chastisement followed on his family. You know, we find that indeed that chastisement came in the death of his child. Then we find that the chastisement came through another boy. His name was Absalom. Now, Absalom was a handsome young man, one of the best looking young men in the nation. And we find that Absalom, David's son, brought him great grief. Now, I know this is a long story, my friend, but we're going to pass over it. You can read it for yourself. But I want to come to the 14th chapter of 2 Samuel as this story develops. It's a specific story of burning the barley field. Now, David had a daughter. Her name was Tamar. And she was violated by her half-brother, the eldest son of David. His name was Amnon. Absalom was Tamar's brother. He loved his sister, and rightly so. And because of the sin and the violation of Tamar by her half-brother, we find that Absalom was furious in his heart and he sought revenge. But he suppressed his anger for a period of time. And for 2 years he hid that anger until finally he decided that he would plan the destruction of his half-brother Amnon. He arranged for the king's sons to come to his house for a feast. And there he would call upon his servants to fall upon Amnon and kill him. And that's exactly what he did. And so we find that because of the death of his half-brother, Amnon, we find that Absalom fled from his father. And for 3 years, we find that he was away from his father and dwelt in Geshur. The natural fact was the place where Absalom's mother's family lived and ruled. And as I read the word of God in 2 Samuel chapter 13, I find that there's a struggle that's going on in David's heart because of his family. If you go down to verse number 36, it says in chapter 13 of 2 Samuel, "And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voice, and they wept." This is over the death of Amnon. "And the king also and all his servants wept very sore, but Absalom fled." Verse 3, "So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 4 years. And the soul of David longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing that he was dead." And here we find a family that's absolutely divided. We have, because of the sin of David, the little child of that ungodly and unholy relationship died. Because of the sin of David, we find that Tamar, his daughter, is violated and sinned against. We find that because of the sin of David, now his son, his eldest boy, Amnon, is dead. And Absalom is away from home for those 3 years from his father's face. And the Bible says David longed to go forth unto Amnon. You see, friend, let me tell you, sin will break a family up. David's home is shattered because of his sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. When we come to chapter 14 of 2 Samuel, you find that Joab, who is the chief of the army of David, he knows that David longs to see Absalom again. He longed after his son. And so we find that Joab believes the time is right for him to ask David to bring his son home from Geshur. He plans a scheme, and you can read it for yourself. And finally, we find that Absalom is brought home on the one condition. He cannot see his father's face. Now, the Bible tells us that David longed after Absalom. But David knew that because of Absalom's sin, he ought to have executed his son under the law. And therefore, whilst he brought him back to Jerusalem, he could not see his father's face. Absalom's popularity grew. He was beautiful to look upon. And the nation went out after him. But let me tell you, there was still something missing. Although the people loved Absalom, he missed his father. He longed to see his father's face. He longed to be in the presence of his father. And so he sends for Joab. after 2 years, and he said, listen, he sends his servants to Joab and said, listen, I want you to come to me. Joab, I want you to come to me. Joab was a man who planned his coming back to Jerusalem, so therefore he believes Joab's the man to get him to see the king's face. And he sends to Joab to come, but he doesn't come. You would ask the question, why did he not come? Well, I believe that Joab was a person who was very self-interested. You see, first of all, whenever Joab was bringing Absalom home, he believed that the people loved Absalom. He believed that Absalom was going to be the next king. And of course, he was the head of the army. He wanted to keep in with the next king. But because 2 years have passed and the king hasn't asked to see Absalom's face, Joab believes that somehow Absalom's out of favor. He's not going to be the king at all. So why would he join up with a loser? So he doesn't come. The Bible says that Absalom set the servants again and said, Joab, Absalom wants you to come. He wants to see you. He sent them the second time, friend, but Absalom wouldn't come, or Joab wouldn't come. And after sending for two times to Joab to come to Absalom, and he wouldn't come, Absalom was looking out and he noticed that Joab's fields was next to his. And he said, you know, Absalom has a good field of barley there. I'll get his attention. He says to his servants, go out and set Joab's barley fields on fire. And so the servants went out of Absalom and they set the fields on fire. And the Bible says that no sooner had the fields been set on fire and the barley was burning than Absalom has the attention of Joab, and Joab runs to Absalom and says, "What? Wherefore have you done this? Why did you set my fields on fire?" Absalom says, "Because I asked you to come, but you wouldn't. Now you came when I set your fields on fire." Then let me tell you this. Let's be honest before God. The king's son wants to see you. The Lord Jesus Christ wants you to come to him. The Holy Spirit of God, the servant, invites you to come to see the king. To come to Christ. But you won't come. You know what God has to do at times? God has got to set the barley fields on fire. But I'll guarantee you one thing, God will get your attention. God will get your attention, friend, even if God has to set the barley fields on fire. And many are like Joab. They don't answer. They just dismiss the invitation. They ignore the call. There are people here tonight, and God has called you to salvation and called you to Christ to be saved from your sin and get ready for God's eternity. But friend, you won't come. You're just like Joab. You won't come. See, that first time, Job didn't even take Absalom's call under his attention at all. He just dismissed it. And that's like the sinner. Sometimes people think that just, you know, they're too busy to come, or not now, I'm not coming now. I'll come when I want to come. And God, the Holy Ghost, calls you and says, come now to the King's Son. Come now to Christ. But he said he wouldn't come. And Absalom's servant set the barley fields on fire. Let me ask you a question, my friend. Will God have to set the barley fields on fire before you come? You know, God can do that. God can get your attention, friend. Maybe you think that, I have no time for the things of God. I have no time for the gospel. I have no time for Christ. All I want's the world. All I want's the pleasures of the world. You got your life built up on things, friend, and now you're just completely taken up with them. God can set the barley fields on fire. Things that are precious to you. The barley field was very precious to Joab. And God can set the barley fields on fire. Let me very quickly tonight just see, address three groups of people here tonight and three things. I want to talk to the child of God, friend. God can set your barley fields on fire. I want to talk to you concerning service of the Lord Jesus Christ, because let me tell you, every child of God is saved to serve. God never put one of his children on the unemployment list. Every child of God saved to serve. Our brother is 80 years of age, friend. He's serving the Lord. Still wanting to serve the Lord. Wanting to do something for God. Why? Because he hasn't lost the vision of souls. The Word of God says, without the vision, the people perish. And there are many of God's children that have lost the vision for souls, have lost the zeal, have lost their first love. Oh, they're not back in the world, friend, but let me tell you, they're cold. They're careless. They're not willing or wanting to do something for God's glory. Can I ask you, the child of God, are you walking in the center of God's will tonight? Are you doing what God wants you to do? God wants you to do something. What are you doing for the Lord? Yes, your time's been taken up. Listen, your time has been taken up with other things. God has to sometimes set the barley fields on fire. Maybe you say to me, well, listen, preacher, but I'm not important because I'm not a committee man. I'm not an elder. I'm not the minister. I'm not the Sunday school teacher. There's really not much for me to do. I want to tell you, my friend, there's a harvest field there. Jesus looked out in the harvest field and he said this, look in the fields for they're ripe and they're ready to harvest. He says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. You and I are the laborers, friend, that he wants to send. Do you know that you can reach somebody that I can't reach? Do you know there are people that are waiting for you to talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ? I love the old hymn, in the harvest fields now waiting, there's a work for all to do. Hear the voice of God now calling to the harvest, calling you. Are you laid aside from service, body worn from toil and care? There's a place in God's battle and the sacred place of prayer, for little's much when God's in it. I remember as a young lad going to Belfast as a student. And I remember going to an old lady on off the Ravenhill Road, Ballarat Street, an old saint of God. I remember going into her home. She was deformed. Arthritis had twisted her body in every possible direction. I've never seen a body deformed like it. I remember going into Miss Armstrong's room, little kitchen house, sitting down there, taking the Word of God and reading it, and then we sang together, and then we prayed. When I finished praying as a young student, I was just a young student lad, friend. And you know, I wanted to be a blessing to that woman. And all she wanted to talk was about the Savior and her love for Jesus. And there she was. Her body, she couldn't get a church. She couldn't walk. She couldn't move from the seat that she was in. Yet she loved the Master. Remember when I finished praying and I was just about to lift my head and thank her for the time of fellowship together, I felt this little deformed hand just on the top of my head. She said to me, son, just keep your head bowed, son. I want to talk to my Lord. Now, we women started to pray, friend, and I want to tell you this. She told the Lord, she says, Lord, I'm so glad that I'm sitting the way I am today. I'm so glad, Lord, my fingers, my legs, because not only her fingers were twisted, her legs were twisted. She started to thank God for the way she was. And she says, Lord, because if I wasn't like this, I probably would be wasting my time doing things that I didn't need to do. Lord, I'm spending time in your presence and I'm praying. She's talking to the Lord and she's praying for souls. Listen, let me tell you, she didn't lose the vision. And sad to say, there's God's people who have lost the vision. It's not what I can do for the Lord, friend. What can God do for me? And I want to challenge you tonight, but let me tell you, if you've lost the vision, young fellow, if you've lost the vision, older person, God can burn your barley fields. The things that your life's now been filled with, God can take them away from you. Because through them, you've lost out with God. Through them, friend, you're losing out with God and battling for souls. There are people that used to come to the prayer meeting and they're no longer in the prayer meeting. Why? Because there's other things that have come in their place. Let me tell you, God's going to have to burn the barley fields to get you back where you used to be. Is that what it's going to take, friend? Before the service, there's people who used to come to pray. They don't do that anymore. Friend, will God have to burn the barley fields? Remember Jonah? God had to burn the barley fields for Jonah, friend. Jonah tried to run away from the world. God says, Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach. No, Jonah said, God, I don't like those people. They're our enemies. You know what God, you know what Jonah was afraid? Jonah was afraid of God saving his enemies. Isn't that an awful thing? That a person would rather than God saving. Here's a child of God. Here's Jonah the preacher. And he was afraid that God was going to save Nineveh. He'd rather them go to hell than God saving them. Sometimes God's children can get a very hard heart, friend. What's your excuse? You're not in the battlefield for God, friend. What's your excuse that you're not serving the Lord in some capacity? Because let me tell you, you are saved to serve. Every last child of God is saved to serve. And if you're not serving the Lord, friend, there's something else taking its place. And Absalom couldn't get Job's attention. He says, burn the barley fields, the thing that he loved. And friend, if you have lost your first love, child of God, I'm not saying you're out in the world, but I want to tell you, you've lost your first love. And if you've lost your first love, then God's have to go burn the barley fields to get your attention. Service. You need to get back into the work. You need to get back into the work. Let me tell you, my friend, where are the missionaries tonight? The fields are empty and with missionaries. Because God's people are staying at home. Because it's more comfortable there. And yet, whilst the missionaries are staying at home because it's comfortable, the soldiers are going to Afghanistan to live in the dust and the dirt. And at the call of queen and country, they're dying on a foreign field. But at the call of God, God's people are sleeping in their bed at home. Friend, there's something wrong. Lost your first love. God can burn the barley fields. I want to talk to you tonight who are backslidden. Because there are people here tonight, and let me tell you that once you walk with God, I want to talk to you about your sin. About your sin, because that's what backsliding is. You're sinning against the Holy God. And I want to tell you this. If you are really saved, God will not let you go on without stopping you. God will get your attention. God will stop you. If you are truly a child of God, I'll tell you, God will stop you. God will burn your barley fields. Remember Lot? And God blessed him with a family. And Lot was with his uncle Abraham. And all was well. And then the servants, he got so prosperous. There were servants and the crops and or the sheep and all the rest were too many. And then they divided the one from the other. But Lot looked out and he saw the plush fields. See out there? Boys, those are great fields. I prosper down there. There's a great field for my cattle. They looked down on the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. It might have been a great place for the cattle, friend. It was no place for the children. You know what Lot thought more of? He thought more of the cattle than he thought of the children. And friend, let me tell you, that's still happening today. People think more of the cattle than they do of the souls of their children. And Lot looked out. And when he saw the fields and the rich plains there, that's the place for me to be. And Lot went down, and it wasn't long. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. It wasn't long till he was sitting in the gate of Sodom. And he became a part of Sodom. I and Sodom became a part of his family. And then one day God says, I'm going to burn your barley fields, Lot. And God sent an angel. The angel of the Lord came down and they urged Lot to leave Sodom. And his wife and his family, he went to his sons-in-law. But the sons-in-law just laughed at him. What are you telling us about? Get out of Sodom? Who brought us here? You forget, Lot. You were the one that introduced us to Sodom. Friend, let me tell you this. Sad reality is this. Whilst Lot got out of Sodom himself, he lost his wife and his in-laws in Sodom. And God burned Sodom. You can read about Samson. Samson got his eyes upon a young woman and he went down to Timnah, friend. Yes, he went down. And from that day, Samson went down until one day he played with sin until he lost his strength and he lost his sight and he became a slave. And then he lost his life. You can't play with sin and prosper. And then I think of Solomon. Solomon, a young man that started well. Solomon, a young man that asked God for wisdom to lead the nation. And he prospered and he built so many houses and all the rest of it. And all the gardens and all the vineyards and all the rest of the things he had. And yet he came to the place when he said this. He says, emptiness of emptiness, all's empty. And then he said these words. He said, I hate life. I hate life. And yet Solomon once was blessed with wisdom. The wisdom of God. Is there someone here tonight, friend? And you've gone back once you walked with God. Once you loved the Lord. Once you loved the things of God. Now you're found in the world. Now you're found in places you would never have been in before. Now you've got caught up with worldliness and caught up with sin. Let me tell you, God's calling you to return to him. And friend, God can burn the barley fields because of your sin. I've got to finish tonight. What about you, sinner? God calls you to salvation. How many times has God called you? God in his patience, God in his love, God in his mercy. And God's sending for you to come to the King's Son. Yet heedlessly and carelessly go on in your sin. Maybe you look back in your life and you remember the days you sat with a little catechism in your hand. You sat at a mother's knee and you learned the verses. And you know, there are times in your life your memory goes back to your childhood. You remember the wee verses you learned at a mother's knee. Maybe it was a godly mother when she was putting you into bed at night and tucking you in. And she'd start to sing some of the old gospel hymns, friend. Tonight you're far away from your mother's knee. And you're far away from your mother's God. And you don't love the hymns she taught you, but the songs of earth are your choice. And you're living without God, without Christ. Let me tell you, friend, God wants to get your attention, and God may have to burn your barley fields. Remember a preacher one day going to a man's home and inviting him to the service to hear the gospel, and the man told him, "Leave me alone." He says, "I don't need you and I don't need your God." And he says, "I want you to leave my house." The preacher came back a second time to invite him to come to the meetings. He'd been brought up in this congregation, but he had no time for the things of God, friend. And then one day, his 15-year-old son was out. He was out on a hunting trip. And he was out on that hunting trip and he got caught in the barbed wire. And to get himself loosed in the barbed wire, he gave a jerk. And as he pulled himself or tried to get himself loosed, accidentally he pulled the trigger. And he shot himself. And the young lad of 15 was dead. Let me ask you a question. Who do you think was at church one day? The man who says, "I didn't need you and I don't need your God, get out." Friend, he had to turn. He had to go to church to carry his son on his shoulder down the aisle and his coffin to the grave. You know, God can burn your barley field. Don't you think that you can take God on, friend? There's not a man or a woman too big tonight, too big for God. Yes, God can get your attention. God won't allow you to go on trampling under your foot the blood of God's dear son. Remember a young lad of 18 years of age. He had no interest in the things of God, and I was reading about it this past week. He was swimming in a mountain stream in East Tennessee, and he dived off the bank into a stream there in East Tennessee. But what he didn't know, there was a submerged boulder. And when he dived into the water, his head hit on the boulder and crushed the bones of his neck. And he was paralyzed from the waist down. One day in hospital, as he lay there, a man came in to talk about Jesus. And thank God, God opened the young man's heart. And he got gloriously and he was wonderfully saved by the grace of God. Friend, let me tell you, but God had to burn the barley fields to bring him to Christ. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. What is God going to have to do in love for your soul to get your attention? Because I can tell you, he can burn the barley fields, the things as precious. Friend, he can take them away. He can remove them to get your attention. Don't play loose with God, friend. Don't fool around with the things of God. For be not deceived, God is not mocked. And here's the last thought. In 2 Samuel chapter 14, it says this. If you go down to verse 31, then, that's after the fields were burned. Verse 30, and Absalom's servants set the fields on fire. Then Joab arose and came to Absalom and said unto him, "Wherefore have thy servants set my field on fire?" And verse 30, so Joab came to the king. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. May God in mercy tonight stop you and bring you to himself before God burns the barley fields. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word. We thank thee for thine infallible truth. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that thou wilt, Lord, speak to hearts and speak to young men and speak to young women and speak to older people. Oh God, take men and women and young people back to the days of their youth, their childhood. And Lord, remind them afresh of the old hymns of God and the old verses they were taught at a mother's knee that points them to Christ. O Spirit of God, break our hearts and bring us in repentance to Christ. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm here as God's servant tonight. If there's a man, a woman, a young person, and you say, preacher, God has been dealing with my heart. I'm a backslider. Things have got into my life that I never thought that would be there. I'm far away from God, but tonight I want to get home. I want to get home before God burns the barley fields. Is there a sinner tonight, and you say, preacher, God has called so many times before, and God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I want to get to Christ before the Spirit of God leaves me and leaves me in my sin. Is there a child of God that says, preacher, I've got out of the master service, I've lost the vision, but tonight, by the grace of God, I'm getting back in. I'm going to be a part of the work for God. Don't leave without the Lord tonight. I beg you in God's name, come to him. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed and God's people are praying. If there's one in this meeting, you say, preacher, I want you to remember me in prayer. I want to speak to you when the service is over. I want you to point me to the Lord. I wonder, would you lift that hand to heaven right now, friend? O Lamb of God, I come. Is there one before we close? May God give you grace to respond to the call of God, friend. May God give you grace to come now. Heavenly Father, bless the time of fellowship together around a cup of tea. Bless the food to our bodies. But most of all, give deciding grace for souls to come to Christ for Jesus' sake. Amen.